Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin. My name is Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and here is Maseches Chulin, Daf Chav Tes, the second parak HaShoichet. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan of Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three Dafs are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph stated twice that shechting most of one siman of a bird and most of two simanim in an animal is a valid shechita. Roshai explains that one clause refers to animals which are chulin, and the other refers to kadshim, meaning karbanas. Both are necessary, for had the Mishnah only taught the law of chulin, one might think that most of a siman only suffices for chulin, because he has no need for the animal's blood. But regarding kadshim, the ladam hutzar, where he needs the blood for zrika on the mizbeach, perhaps shechting most of the siman is insufficient. Had the Mishnah only taught kadshim, one might think that shechting rove of the siman is only necessary for kadshim, since the blood is needed, but for chulin, perhaps shechting half would suffice. Therefore, the Mishnah taught that shechting most of the siman applies to both. Amraim say that the Mishnah's first clause refers to kadshim, and the second clause refers to chulin, based on five different proofs. Pointing to Reish Lakish quoted Levi the Elder saying, "Ein l'shchita el basof. Shchita is only considered shchita at the end of the procedure." Yochanan says, Yeshna l'shchita metchila v'atzof. Shchita is considered shchita from beginning to end. Rava clarifies that where a non-Jew shechted one siman and a Jew shechted the second siman, all agree the shchita is invalid since the Akum already made it a trefa. Similarly, if one performs malika of one siman of an olas ha'of below the chuta sikra and the other above it, all agree it's invalid since he performed a full malika procedure of a chuta ha'of below. Rava says they argue where one shechted one siman of a bird carbon outside the mikdash and the other siman inside the mikdash. However, Rav Yosef said that in this case, all agree that one is chayav for shechting a carbon outside the mikdash since he performed a full malika of a chatas of outside. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that they argue where one shechted a minority of the simanim outside the mikdash and completed the shechita inside. Rav Yochanan considers the entire procedure part of the shechita and is chayav for shechting b'chutz. And Levi the Elder holds he's pater because it's only considered shechita at the end, which was inside the mikdash. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yochanan is challenged from a Mishnah. Kol asukim bepar metchil v'adsof. All those involved in the procedure of the paraduma from beginning to end are metami their clothing and bodies and can disqualify the paraduma by performing another task simultaneously. If the par became invalidated during the shechita, then someone involved is not metamei's clothing, whether he was involved before or after it was invalidated, because he was not involved with a legitimate par aduma. However, if the par became disqualified during the hazah, the sprinkling of its blood, then someone involved before the invalidation is metamei's clothing, since it was a properly shechted par aduma, but someone involved after the invalidation is not metamei's clothing. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who considers every part of the shechita as shechita, the same distinction should apply to invalidated shechita that someone involved before the invalidation should be metamei's clothing. Rabbi replied that a ruined shechita is different. Because it's retroactively revealed that the initial cutting was not actually shechita at all. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the Mishnah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph stated twice that shechting most of the siman of a bird and most of the two simanim in an animal is a valid shechita. Roshai explains that one clause refers to animals which are chulin and the other refers to kadshim, meaning karbanas. Both are necessary, for had the Mishnah only taught the law of chulin, one might think that most of a siman only suffices for chulin because he has no need for the animal's blood. But regarding kadshim, the ladam hutzar, where he needs the blood for zrika on the mizbeach, perhaps shechting most of the siman is insufficient. Had the Mishnah only taught kadshim, one might think that shechting rove of the siman is only necessary for kadshim since the blood is needed, but for chulin, perhaps shechting half would suffice. Therefore, the Mishnah taught that shechting most of the siman applies to both. Amraim say that the Mishnah's first clause refers to kadshim, and the second clause refers to chulin, based on five different proofs. Pointing to Reish Lakish quoted Levi the Elder saying, "Ein l'shchita el basof. Shechita is only considered shechita at the end of the procedure." Yochanan says, Yeshna l'shchita metchila v'atzof. Shchita is considered shchita from beginning to end. Rava clarifies that where a non-Jew shechted one siman and a Jew shechted the second siman, all agree the shchita is invalid since the Akum already made it a trefa. Similarly, if one performs malika of one siman of an olas ha'of below the chuta sikra and the other above it, all agree it's invalid since he performed a full malika procedure of a chatas ha'of below. Rava says they argue where one shechted one siman of a bird carbon outside the mikdash and the other siman inside the mikdash. However, Rav Yosef said that in this case, all agree that one is chayav for shechting a carbon outside the Mikdash since he performed a full malika of a chataz of outside. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that they argue where one shechted a minority of the simanim outside the Mikdash and completed the shechita inside. Rav Yochanan considers the entire procedure part of the shechita and is chai for shechting b'chutz. And Levi the Elder holds he's pater because it's only considered shechita at the end, which was inside the Mikdash. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yochanan is challenged from a Mishnah. Kol asukim bepar metchil va'adsof. All those involved in the procedure of the par duma, from beginning to end, are metami their clothing and bodies, and can disqualify the par duma by performing another task simultaneously. If the par became invalidated during the shechita, then someone involved is not metami his clothing, whether he was involved before or after it was invalidated, because he was not involved with a legitimate par aduma. However, if the par became disqualified during the hazah, the sprinkling of its blood, then someone involved before the invalidation is metamia's clothing, since it was a properly shechted par duma, but someone involved after the invalidation is not metamia's clothing. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who considers every part of the shechita as shechita, the same distinction should apply to invalidated shechita, that someone involved before the invalidation should be metamia's clothing. Rabbi replied that a ruined shechita is different. Because it's retroactively revealed that the initial cutting was not actually shechita at all. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chaf Tes, and our standard siman is a kot. A kot, so here goes. When some kohanim came into the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, the kohen in charge who explained to them it's enough to shecht rov of the simanim, even by kachim, where the dung needs to be extracted. And even though they shechted one siman outside, they're not chai for shechute chutz because ein lo shechita ela basof, was relieved to hear that the par duma was disqualified during shechita and not zrika, so the kohen who touched the carbon didn't make it tameh. Once again, slow motion. When some kohanim came into the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, kot? That must be more on daf chav tes. When some kohanim came into the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, the kohen in charge who explained to them it's enough to shecht rov of the simanim, even by kachim, where the dam needs to be extracted, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph stated twice that shechting most of one siman of a bird or most of two simanim in an animal is a valid shechita. Rav Hoshai explains that one clause refers to animals which are chulin, and the other refers to kachim. Both are necessary, for had the Mishnah only taught the laws of chulin, one might think that most of a siman only suffices for chulin because he has no need for the animal's blood. But regarding kachim, where he needs the blood for zrika on the mizbeach, perhaps shechting most of the siman is insufficient. So, when some kohanim came into the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, the kohen in charge who explained to them it's enough to shecht rov of the simanim even by kachim, where the dam needs to be extracted, and even though they shechted one siman outside, they're not chai for shechute chutz, because ein lo shechita ela basof, which reminds us, Reish Lakish quoted Levi the Elder saying, ein lo shechita ela basof, shechita is only considered shechita at the end of the procedure. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeshna lo shechita metchilo atzof, shechita is considered shechita from beginning to end. So, when some kohanim came to the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, the kohen in charge who explained to them that's enough to shecht rov of the simanim, even by kachim where the dam needs to be extracted, and even though they shechted one siman outside, they're not chai for shechute chutz, because ein lo shechita ela basof, was relieved to hear that the par duma was disqualified during shechita and not zrika, so the kohen who touched his carbon didn't make it tameh, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses which people involved in a disqualified par duma become tameh. So, once again, when some kohanim came into the Mikdash carrying a carbon on a kot, the kohen in charge who explained to them that it's enough to shecht rov of the simanim even by kachim, where the dam needs to be extracted, and even though they shechted one siman outside, they're not chayv for shechute chutz because ein lo shechita ela basof, was relieved to hear that the par duma was disqualified during shechita and not zrika, so the kohen who touched the carbon didn't make it tameh. All right, so now it's time for our four blah chazara. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Siman Daf Chaf Hei is the 25th silver anniversary. So here goes. The cheapskate husband who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, 25th silver anniversary? That must be around Daf Chaf Hei. The cheapskate husband who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kalim and unfinished metal kalim, was perfect because they're not makabel tuma, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that what is tame, meaning susceptible to tuma, regarding wooden kalim is tahor regarding metal kalim and vice versa. Abraisa explains, gome kli eitz, unfinished wooden utensils, are tame, but pshutem, flat wooden kalim are tahor. Unfinished metal kalim are tahor, and flat metal kalim are tame. Some examples of unfinished kalim include those which require polishing, adorning, planing, or lack of base or handle, but are usable for their intended purpose. So the cheapskate husband, who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kaolin and unfinished metal kaolin, was perfect because they're not macabre tuma, was dismayed that his wife didn't appreciate when he served small bitter almonds and large sweet ones that were chayiv b'maiser, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, a chayiv b'shkedim hamarim, what is obligated in separating maiser in the case of bitter almonds, patu b'masukim, is exempt in the case of sweet almonds and vice versa. A braisa explains that regarding bitter almonds, small ones are obligated in maiser, while large ones are exempt because they're generally eaten while small before they become too bitter. Regarding sweet almonds, the large ones are subject to maaser, while the small ones are exempt because people generally wait until they fully mature. So the cheapskate husband, who thought his 25th silver anniversary gift, a flat wooden kaolin and unfinished metal kaolin, was perfect because they're not makabel tuma, was dismayed that his wife didn't appreciate it when he served small bitter almonds and large sweet ones that were chayiv b'maaser, and a drink of unfermented tamid that he was unfortunately not allowed to purchase with Meiser Sheni Manis, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a temid ashol hichmitz, temid, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which is not yet fermented, eno nikach because of Meiser, cannot be purchased with Meiser Sheni money, meaning money used to redeem Meiser produce, uposolos a mikveh, and it disqualifies a mikveh which lacks 40 saw of rainwater. This temid is considered water despite its wine flavor. After fermenting, it's considered wine and may be purchased with Meiser money and would not disqualify a mikveh. Daf Chavav. So the Siman Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldiers of the military coup. Military coup? That must be on Daf Chavav. The soldiers of the military coup who had bought Temid with Meiser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said in Rabba Bar Abua's name, Temid Shalachu Bekesav Meiser. Temid, a drink made by soaking grape seeds in water, which one purchased with Meiser Sheni money, meaning money used to redeem Meiser produce, Ubasov Hichmitz, and the Temid later fermented, Kana Meiser. The Temid acquires Meiser status. Although it had not fermented at the time of purchase, Igul Milse Lemafreya de Perahu, it is retroactively revealed that it was a fruit product since it was capable of fermenting. So, the soldiers of the military coup who had bought Temid with Meiser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, were examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl and couldn't tell if she was the age to be sold or receive a kanas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kol makom she'yesh mecher ein kanas, wherever there's a right of sale, meaning a katana, whose father can sell her as an amar ivriya, there's no fine, meaning the 50 shekel kanas, paid by one who seduces or violates her. But kol makom she'yesh kanas ein mecher, and wherever there's a fine, referring to a nara, there's no right of sale, meaning the father can no longer sell her. Rav notes that this Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim hold there is a kanas at the same age as the right of sale. So the soldiers in the military coup who had bought Temid with Meiser Sheni money that later fermented, revealing it had really been fruit all along, were examining it when they stopped to help a lost young girl and couldn't tell if she was of the age to be sold or receive a kanas, and then suddenly heard a tekiah on Yom Tov Erev Shabbos signaling them to stop permitting malacha and that there would be no Havdalah, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Kol makom she'yesh tekiah ein havdalah, wherever there's a horn blast, there's no havdalah, and wherever there's havdalah, there's no tekiah. It explains that when Yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, we sound a horn to announce the approach of Shabbos, warning people to stop performing malacha, which are only permitted on Yantav, but do not recite havdalah, since Shabbos has greater restrictions. When Yantav falls on Motzei Shabbos, we recite havdalah, but do not sound the horn, since the departing day of Shabbos has greater restrictions than the entering day of Yantav. Dav Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. When the custom kazoo maker, kazoo, that must be more a Dav Chav Zayin. When the custom kazoo maker finished explaining to his apprentices that the edge of the kazoo should be sharp enough to cut most of the tusi money for a behema and one for a bird, which reminds us, the second parak begins, Ashoichet echor ba'of ushnaim ba'behema shchitaso kashera. If one shechs one pipe of a bird or both pipes of an animal, his shchita is valid, v'ruba shel echor kamo, and cutting most of one pipe is like cutting all of it. Rav Yudah requires cutting the veridin, the main blood vessels of the neck, and the Gemara will explain this to refer to shchita of birds. So when the custom kazoo maker finished explaining to his apprentices that the edge of the kazoo should be sharp enough to cut most of the tusi money for a behema and one for a bird, and that shechita from the neck is halacha l'moshe misinai, which reminds us, Rav Kahana asks, menayin shechita shehi min hatzavar, from where do we derive that shechita means cutting from an animal's throat? And ultimately, the Gemara concludes that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. So when the custom kazoo maker finished explaining to his apprentices that the edge of the kazoo should be sharp enough to cut most of the tusi money for a behema and one for a bird, and that shechita from the neck is halacha l'moshe misinai, they took a break for a meal of fish that doesn't need shechita, at all, which reminds us fish do not require shechita. A travel galarina once darshan, an animal which is created from the dry land requires shechita. Both simanim, fish which were created from the water, do not require any shechita. Daf Chav Ches. So the siman Daf Chav Ches is a strong man, koach. So here goes. The strong man, that must be on Daf Chav Ches, koach. The strong man used to tear birds with his bare hands because he thought shechita wasn't required from the Torah, but then learned it was from the pasuk v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, which reminds us on the previous daf, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas said, "Ein shechita of min haTorah." There is no law from the Torah requiring shechita of birds, but cutting the simanim, rather tearing or stabbing them suffices. However, shechita is required by the Rabban. Rebbe darshans v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, and you shall slaughter as I have commanded you. This teaches that Moshe Rabbeinu was orally commanded regarding shechita, the trachea and esophagus, and about cutting most of one pipe of a bird, and about cutting most of two pipes of an animal. So the strong man who used to tear birds with his bare hands because he thought shechita wasn't required from the Torah, but then learned it was from the pasuk v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, watched a shochet teach that you can cut either siman, not specifically the veshet, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that shechita of one siman is sufficient for a bird. Rav Nachman says, o veshet o kana, either the esophagus or the trachea qualifies. Rav Adar Bar Abba says, veshet v'lo kana, he must specifically shecht the esophagus and not the trachea. And the Mishnah's term echad means miyuchad, the special pipe. The veshet is the more critical simon, since even a tiny hole in the veshet renders the animal a trefa, whereas only a mostly cut kana does. So the strong man used to tear birds with his bare hands because he thought shechita wasn't required from the Torah, but then learned it was from the pasuk v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, watched the shochet teach that you can cut either siman, not specifically the veshet, and then chooses some for the live demonstration who is strong enough to cut more than half a siman, since mechsa mechsa ain't a karov, which reminds us the Gemara brings a machlokas whether mechsa mechsa karov, shechting a siman until it's half cut and half uncut, is like having shechted most of the siman, and if it's a valid shechita or not. On the next daf, Abai concludes that all Amoraim agree that mechsa mechsa ain't a karov, and the machlokas concerns a completely different subject. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we discuss whether mechsa mechsa is karov? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that shechting rov of a simon applies equally to chulin and kachim? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that paraduma is killed with shechita and egla rufa is killed with decapitation? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that fish do not require shechita? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do machlokas if yeshna l'shechita mitchila va'ad sof? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do discuss whether shechita za'ov is min haTorah or not? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you know that shechita means cutting from an animal's throat is halacha l'moshe m'sinai? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss which people involved in a disqualified paraduma become tameh? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss whether the one simon requirement of birds can be either simon or specifically must be the veshet? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that shechita requires most of the two simanim of an animal and most of one simon of a bird? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.